Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Good morning. I know you're there. I know you are. And I'm delighted to be here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Reverend Sandra Butler. And I have had the great honor and privilege of being associated with this community for a number of years. We won't go into the number, please. But it's been a joy, all in each and every number, I have to say. And what I am doing right now, the old timers are familiar with. And I call it doing the kitchen dishes, which is a kind of a cutesiness for getting ready with my talk. Now, the talk today, this morning, is entitled Practical Immortality. And we're going to unpack it, as I like to say, among lots of other people who use that expression. And where I'm going with it is to be with you in this time of uncertainty. At best, uncertainty. A time when we are being asked and have had to pivot, to use the expression. I've heard that expression countless times from newscasters, from other people who have literally had to pivot, meaning to do it a new way, come up with a new story, a new way of doing it. And when we get in these times of transitions, very often, we don't necessarily remember who we are or what we're doing. And I want to approach this time that we've had. And what is this time? It's a time of uncertainty. Let's call it what it is. It's a time of the virus, economic uncertainty. Some people would not like the word uncertainty, as in it doesn't quite say it, does it? Well, leaving that right there, right where it is, we are in a moment where we are being asked to look anew, be anew, and think anew in a different way in order to bring about what I consider to be an extraordinary understanding on our parts of the miraculous gift of our divine potential. And being aware of that gift 24/7, being aware with every breath of our divinity. That is our second principle in unity. And what I'm going to co-create with you today, we shall wait and see how that comes out, but it will be based on principle number two, the divinity within each and all of us is what we believe, as well as some writings from Michael Singer, who did The Untethered Soul, among other books. The Untethered Soul is one that was very popular, as well as other writers of New Thought that have come forth with the idea that now is a good time to take a look at where we have been, where we think we're going, but most importantly, where are we? Are we in the moment? There is an idea that very often what happens with all of us is we like to stay in either one of two places, in the past or in the future. And we're tethered to our past. We get stuck in our past, and that's where the drama comes. When we overthink things, when we excessively respond to ideas the way we used to do that. And what it looks like, it reminded me actually of the teddy bears in Beverly's video that she did. We are the Goldilocks when we get into drama with the three bears. And the three bears are excessive thinking, excessive worrying, and excessive reactivity. Those are the three bears, if you will, that we can get into when we go to drama. When we forget, whether in the moment or in the month or in the day or the year, who we are and who just exactly are we. We are divinity, the expression of the divine. All of us, every one of us, has a different expression of the divine. And what I am asking you to do this morning is to become aware of that divinity, aware of the mindfulness that Ron talked about in meditation, that he brought to our meditation, and to own it. Bottom line, I think we do a wonderful job in Unity of explaining that second principle, of getting people used to it, because it's a new thought for a lot of people, literally. Never thought about that. And for some, it's a rejected thought because they don't want the responsibility and don't necessarily want to accept principle number two. What I'm about today is to take that divinity, that immortality, that nugget, that gift of God, and see how we might be able to, as I'm fond of saying, take it on the road. What does that mean? That means, where are we with that particular principle? Where are we with our own divinity? Have we owned it? Do we know it? Or are we still working on it? And I would say to you, right now, in the times that we are in, we've got a splendid amount of time to work on many different things. So I'm asking you today to take a look at principle number two. Take a look at your own ownership of your own divinity and how you relate to that divinity and how you relate to the divinity in your fellow man. These are questions that bear asking. And I also would like to stress the fact that looking at this principle and talking about our divinity is a way of life. It is not just another tool for the toolbox. And you know, I've stood before you many times and said, oh, I got another tool for the toolbox. And I would like you to know, I do not come to you this morning with this as a tool of living. I come to you with it as a way of living. And let's start, if I will, I'd like to talk a little bit about syncing the body and the mind. And here's how I've come to look at this syncing business. I have been, certainly in my lifetime, syncing body and mind most often in prayer. I have friends who sync it, S-Y-N-C, in exercise, in being in nature. However you sync your body and mind, we'll get to the syncing in just a minute and how to practically do that. But I would like you to think in terms of mind and body in this way. The body is always with us. It doesn't go to the past. It doesn't go to the future. It's right now in the present moment. The body is here and now, taking it all in, one way or the other. But the body doesn't leave the present moment. The mind, however, oh my, do we not travel distance in our minds? We go from past, be tethered, and sometimes to enjoy our past. Some of us get stuck there. And then we go to the future. But very rarely do we like to stay in the present moment. It's hard to stay in the present moment when you have all of this sensory stuff, all of our humanity, poking the bear. Come on, pay attention to me. So we just travel off into, well, where's my next trip? Well, good, I get to see my mother once the pandemic is over. It's not about that goal that I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how we travel the journey and how we are mindful. And many of you are saying, oh, I know mindfulness. It's part of my meditation practice. Yes, it is. And I love mindfulness meditation. It's a different type of meditation. It's a focused type of meditation to get to an awareness that does not have a focus. That makes sense to all of you. Put that in the hopper. Some of you will send me emails and say, I don't like that definition. Here's my definition. And I say to you, come on. Because it's mindfulness that is also, when it's coupled with awareness, is the practical immortality that we can take to the street. So let's talk a little bit about this. And why, let me just insert this right at the moment. Why I think this is so important right now, aside from just my own revelations, is because we have an extraordinary time that we are living right now, and how we walk through it, how we choose to walk through it. You know, is the difference between how we get through it. It's not a getting through it. It's a walking. It's a day by day, minute by minute. And what I'd like to bring to your attention today is the concept of attention, which is thinking, the concept of awareness, and what does awareness mean? Now, there's a fourth consciousness, the third consciousness is mindfulness, but I put mindfulness as an incorporated sense with awareness. When you have mindfulness, and what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is knowing your beliefs, knowing your core values, knowing from whom you spring, your divinity. It's understanding that, and it's moving and being in your mindfulness. But what happens after mindfulness, Reverend Sandy? Do we just do the lotus position? We close our eyes and we do get to mindfulness. Thank God we get to mindfulness. That's a new one for me. And then I'd like to say to you, yes, but how do you take that to the street? You come in a mindfulness lotus position. And this is not casting aspersions. This is investigating. And I'm inviting you to investigate with me. How in heaven's name do we take that beautiful essence of mindfulness, of who we really are, of getting a glimpse of the perfection, and how do we walk that every day? Part of the answer, and I just say part because I'm still investigating, part of the answer is to be aware. Now, what is awareness? Awareness is that razor eyesight, the third eye that sees while we're in a state of mindfulness. And to up the ante in the awareness department, we must practice. And here's the full circle. Well, how do we practice? You practice, obviously, through prayer and meditation, but you practice in the moment. Are you mindful and are you alert? Take it to your fellow man. Take it to your spouse. What does alert mean? Alert means, are your eyes wide open? Or are you packing the car? Are you getting lunch ready for the children? Are you looking at those children as you get the lunch ready? And some of you are already saying, oh, what is she talking about? I barely can get the lunch ready. Never mind, look at the kids. Therein, my friends, is not taking it to the street. Therein is no mindfulness, no awareness. Your awareness not only looks at the children, and I'm using children today, are they dressed properly? How do they look? Are they accounted for? Where are they all? Are you looking at your children? Alertness is a form of awareness taken to the nth degree. And I'm throwing in the word alertness because we take such pride in this culture of ours to be alert. And what happens with alertness? We get hypervigilant. We start doing this. Suddenly, it's them and me. Suddenly, I'm in overdrive with alertness. I'm hypervigilant. I have separated from the God of my being. I am not mindful, but I'm alert, and I'm vigilant, and I'm taking care of business. You see how quickly that comes about for us. What I'm asking you to do is to practice. And you may say, well, I'm already doing mindfulness meditation. I meditate every day. Are you doing it in the moment? And some of you are saying, I can't do it in the moment. What are you talking about? And I'm saying, yes, you can. You can do it in the moment. Is it easy? No. Does it take practice? Yes. Ourselves meeting the divinity in our fellow man. And I'm asking you flat out, do you do that in the moment? Or do you allow the external to take over and either become visually impaired, as I like to say it, or in hyper alert stage. I'll give you an example. As I've been doing, looking and reading about this material, I've been, like a lot of us, when you get in with material and you're reading and you're studying something new, you become like that's your front page news. That's really all you're about, you know, and you want anybody that will listen to you to listen to you. Well, here's my mundane example of how I went into hypervigilance and left mindfulness. I was notified by the apartment complex where I live that we were going to have not manual locks with a key. We were all going electronic. And, you know, at first I thought, oh, electronic. Uh-huh. Well, that's different. Now, for many of you out there, that might not be different at all. For Reverend Sandy, it's different. It's a change. And I pride myself on being able to at least handle change. You know, I like to say I embrace it from time to time. Well, as the day progressed and the time progressed for them to come to put the lock on, the new lock, I was not doing anything except going down a rabbit hole of angst, anxiety, of the three bears, excessive thinking, worrying, and reactivity. How did that look? Oh, gosh, I don't know if I can work this electronic thing. This may be too much for me. I have to get out of the door quickly. I have a lot of stuff in my hands. How am I going to handle that? What time are the guys coming? Oh, they can't get there till 2. Oh, 2. Oh, that's too late. No, I want them in and out of here. It's COVID. I don't want them standing around. What will I do? You see, overdrive. Hypervigilance. And we called it, or I did, I'm alert. I'm taking care of myself. Really? Really? From what planet are you taking care of yourself? I'm taking care of myself from my least conscious humanity. And here's how it came down for me. I was the first one in my building to get the new lock. And the guys showed up at 9:00. And I was not prepared at all. And I started to say through the door, no, this is not a good time. You'll have to come back. You could hear the sighs, you know, down the other side of the county, the exasperation. And I thought to myself, you're not in a good place, Sandy. And you can correct this. You can choose to be mindful in a good space. You can choose it right now. You can sync your body with your mind and choose to be here right now in this moment in awareness, meaning you're paying attention. The human part of you sees what's going on. You're taking care of yourself. You're doing it from a place of mindfulness, of knowing your divinity and knowing that every expression on the other side of that new electronic lock is a child of God, and you can meet their heart, their Christ, with your Christ. You can see it. Choose. Now? I have to choose now? Couldn't I think about it? Now. And here is a quote that I wanted to bring to your attention from Viktor Frankl. And I see it here, but I may have covered it up in a second. I think I would like to make sure that I get this. He understood. Viktor Frankl understood. And if you don't know who Viktor Frankl is, he was a neurologist and a psychiatrist who was also a Holocaust survivor. And he has several books out, which I would encourage you to investigate. But here's the essence of what he said, that our response, we have a choice, any choice, doesn't matter what it is, but we have a moment between being stimulated and responding. There is a precious moment of freedom, and that is our moment of choice if we are mindful, if we are aware, if we bring that back to the present perfect moment, and we say and move forward with our response, having spent mindful awareness in that space. I brought this example up to you before, Amy. Anyone who plays music knows that there's a rest between the notes. And I'm asking you today, if you've heard anything I've said, to try and bring to your everyday awareness a time of giving yourself the freedom to rest before you respond. You have a stimuli, you have a response. Here you're being asking, I would say, yourself to choose, how will I respond? From my heart, if you will, from a mindfulness, from an understanding that I am divine, that's how I'll respond. And for those of you that say, I simply cannot do that, Reverend Sandy, in the moment, I say to you, take a breath. And I'm not being flippant. Why take a breath? Because the breath, and I know you do this in meditation, I do it too. I'm talking about in the moment. A breath immediately brings that old racing mind, that on the back 40 away from God, in sync with the body who is fully present. That is the gift of mindfulness, of being mindful. That is being practical in our immortality and not just talking about it. The breath is so important, and it isn't just the breath as you think of it in terms of meditation and prayer, and yet it's always in terms of meditation and prayer. But when we're in a heated moment, when our anxiety is off the charts, when we forget our own divinity, the miracle that we walk around with every single day is ours, is the gift of God, then take a deep breath and sink your mind and body as one in your divinity. Choose your response from your divinity. That is our practical immortality. And we can do it. It's been done for years and centuries. But in our world today, we don't practice it in the moment on the street. I say we. Of course, there are people who practice it. I'm bringing it to you today as a way of looking at the words mindfulness and awareness, of syncing body and mind, of understanding you can go from being stimulated, having your buttons pushed, in the moment, in the response. And you can do it in a way that furthers your freedom and your divinity. Not furthers it in a way of going forward, but furthers it in a developing way. And I'm looking here for, I'll close with this. This is the miracle mindfulness can reveal if you choose. Master teachers have long taught that life itself is the greatest gift we have ever been given, and it is a pearl of great price. What we do with the gift is how we honor the giver. If we have eyes to see it, mindfulness elevates us in consciousness to a position to witness how the miracle of life avails itself to us every moment of every day, inviting us to embrace it fully. Our awareness of that gift is what separates us as a species. It is our choice. It is our gift. And I say my prayer ending this today to all of you is very simple. Claim it. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.